Welcome to the Prevail Over Cancer podcast, where we take a metabolic approach to help guide you on preventing, prevailing, and striving over cancer.
We are live on the Prevail Over Cancer podcast with my partner in crime, Keith Bishop. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing amazing. Every time we get on a conversation, we seem to start talking. I know. And I'm like, we got to hit the record button because we probably could have added so much value already prior to this whole conversation. So today we're going to be talking about supplements, and it's something I've always been interested in supplements, learning about supplements. When I found out I had cancer, I really dove into it and tried to understand which supplements would give me any form of advantage to prevail over cancer, to fight cancer, to kill cancer cells. There's so much information out there. Out there. You are one individual, with all the books I read, you're one individual that actually gave me a bitter insight of supplements, understanding about supplements. And through the process, I've learned, and I keep reading, I keep learning, and I keep trying to educate myself. So we're going to talk about six supplements today, six supplements that I actually take in my cancer striving life, living without cancer now. And I want to break down the benefits, the studies behind it, what are people going to get out of it, and your knowledge is going to be grateful, and also my experience with them, so we could go through them all. So let's get going. I guess the first one that I really dove into right off the bat, and it's something that I've always kind of played around with, even through shots, is turmeric, curcumin, and is one that you right off the bat was like, you got to get on it. I was on it already, and I really just upped my dose on it. And this is the one I'm taking currently right now. I can see that right there. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about the benefits, because there's so much information out there. And when you read anything about curcumin, it talks about the slowing of cancer cells. It talks about helping prevent cancer. It also tells about chemo, radiation, the benefits of taking it with those treatments if you are going through that process. So give me all the information on this.
Sure. Yes. And so it is one of my favorite, herbs or herb, depends on what part of the world you're from and even in the United States, but, I'll say an herb. And so, it probably has more research behind it than almost any other herb that I've come across. And so I just double checked this morning, and there's it's over 7,000, almost 8,000 research journals that are mentioning curcumin and cancer. Now, there are some human studies, not many. Same thing with all these herbs. The problem is the herbs, are not a patented type thing. And so there's no money to fund that. And so it's more like a combination of university research. But usually that's funded by the drug companies. And so the drug companies are actually, a lot of these articles are actually, they're combining curcumin with something else to make a drug, or switching the chemical molecule, creating a new chemical to create a prescription drug. And so that's where a lot of this research is coming in. And so, matter of fact, then they compare, in the animal or the test tube, does this new molecule work better than the original one? Is it worth, following up with that? And so, and it's called, microbiology, but medicinal chemistry, the class I hated the worst in pharmacy school. but taking those chemical molecules and testing them. And so, as a matter of fact, the ones we're talking about today, these five or six items are not a complete list, but they're kind of like my favorites, and they have a little bit more research. And so I run into that issue with dealing with the public, but also with the doctors, meaning, most of the people that I see, my clients, are in treatments, and the doctors say, well, where's the science? What's the science? What's the science? Yeah. And so I have to back that up. And so that's where I'm coming from, with this. So curcumin, it has probably more research than almost all of them for many years. The biggest issue is that turmeric is the root, the source of that, and it's used as an herb, a spice, a cooking spice. It's actually not well absorbed. And so, therefore, they have to do tricks, they meaning the manufacturers, or even some people have to do tricks with that. And so, meaning to increase the absorption, they'll add black pepper, Bioperine is a brand of that by one particular company, but add black pepper to it. And black pepper will actually decrease the liver's ability to get rid of the curcumin. So it's kind of a good or bad. So actually, so black pepper may, it increases the blood level of the curcumin, but at the same time, it may also have an interaction with other drugs. So we have to be a little bit more careful with a black pepper curcumin product. So I'll talk about curcumin because that's the primary active ingredient, but there's other ones, curcuminoids. So there's actually several different ones, and all of them actually, matter of fact, it's like all the plant products, you know, on earth have anti-cancer benefits. So, so same thing with curcumin. It's not just curcumin, but they're curcuminoids and several ingredients in that. So it does help, in the science, in the medical journals, it helps slow down cancer cell growth.
Yeah.
It helps cancer cells to actually die and then helps to, one of my favorite things is actually it even seems to chelate and bind to copper and reduce copper levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes copper, so we can eliminate out of the body. There's a lot of in Alzheimer's, research, even a lot about that. So therefore it's one of my favorite things. And then, even new blood vessel growth. So, anti-inflammatory inflammation stimulates cancer cell growth. And so it's like, the list is just like
it's benefit after benefit.
Everything. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that aspect of it as well. I mean, when you are dealing with anything like cancer, you want to eliminate as much as possible any form of inflammation in your body. And when you're dealing with something like curcumin, the benefits of obviously reducing inflammation in your body, it allows your body's cells to properly fight, defeat, get rid of the cancer cells. So there's other benefits as well like that.
Right. Yes. And you mentioned about, taking it or in like enhanced chemotherapy and radiation effects.
Yeah,
definitely. And most of these items have, these herbal things that we're going to talk about do have that kind of effect, except, there's two ways that they work along that way is most of these herbs are also, matter of fact, herbs are actually more like drugs.
Yeah.
They're metabolized through the liver and they could interact with other drugs. So it depends on the chemotherapy drug. So one of the ways that they actually can enhance a chemotherapy effect, sad to say, is it could increase the blood levels of the chemotherapy drugs.
Interesting.
So we have to be a little bit more careful about combining them, not saying that you can't do that. But we have to be more careful. Watch for toxicities during chemotherapies and liver enzymes going up, kidney numbers, showing kidney function is not quite as good. So we have to be just a little bit more careful, while taking herbal products with chemotherapy and radiation. Officially, we're supposed to say that, you have to notify your doctor that you're taking these things. Most doctors don't know about them. So it's actually a patient's right to make that decision about what they're going to do, but it does potentially increase the side effect, but there's still even like in not the human system, but even in a test tube.
Yeah.
It shows that actually, adding these herbs, including curcumin into a chemotherapy, treatment type program.
There's benefits.
Definitely benefit.
Yeah.
It looks better.
Yeah.
And it helps all the different methods.
Even during radiation, it kind of suppresses the signal of the cells. So it actually helps the benefit of the radiation because the radiation is obviously trying to kill off those bad cells. And this this helps the pathway in killing those cells. So there's so much benefits to it. I take 1,000 milligrams a day. So I split that between two capsules. One, when I break my fast, early afternoon around noon when I break my fast, I take one and then I take one in the evening with dinner. How much should the average person be taking? And it all depends, obviously, weight and stuff like that, but just in general.
Well, it actually depends on the product.
Interesting. And
because there's absorption issues.
Okay.
And so, a cheapy discount store turmeric product is not very strong. A curcumin extract that has black pepper, it could be anywhere from, I think the studies show from maybe 200 to 2000% better absorbed.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's some versions that have oils added to them. So they're actually dissolving it or mixing it in with an oil, and that's going to increase absorption some. And then another company that's based in Oklahoma City, they actually add a protein to it, and they physically bind a protein to it, which makes it more like a drug in a way. And now the body absorbs it because it's more like a protein.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's another way. So really it depends on the product, you know, as far as the dose. It's something that we don't know for sure, but you have to have enough. And so, you know, I usually go with a minimum of, like you mentioned, like 1,000 milligrams. You know, if a person's challenged in fighting cancer or trying to prevent it or something like that, it's more like 1,000 milligrams at least twice a day.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
And it depends on what they're doing. You know, if they're taking chemotherapy, I'll go a little bit lower dose and help them monitor themselves. But then if they're not on that, I may even push it a little bit higher because it's just not well absorbed.
Very good. Very good. Let's jump on our next supplement. And I actually asked you prior to pronounce it just for our customer base. It is, I don't know if you can see this with the light here.
Yes. But, Do you want me to pronounce it for you?
Yeah, pronounce it. Okay. Pronounce it quercetin. Did I get that right?
Quercetin.
Quercetin.
Yeah, quercetin. So, but my Oaky accent, you know, I'm people correct me all the time. So, you know, that's the way I pronounce it is quercetin.
Yes, quercetin. So there's so much. You actually were the one introducing me to this supplement. I wasn't aware of it prior to when we met last December. And it's something that I've been regularly taking ever since then. I take one capsule a day. I parted of my breaking my fast supplements. And there's so much research. When you first introduced it to me, I dove deep into just learning about it, learning the benefits about it, the benefits on your immune system, benefits on anti-cancer, like just the cells. And there's so much benefits. Let's dive into that and why you recommend it to most people.
Well, it's a similar type of thing. And so so this particular product comes from like onions. It's kind of weird. It's actually in many different foods.
Yeah.
Really seem to be related, but onions, apples, grapes, you know, are just a few foods, but they're little tiny doses, you know, in those foods. But once again, those foods have hundreds of ingredients in them. And, but by going with higher doses, it does have similar type of effects of, you know, slowing down cancer cell growth and, slowing down blood vessel growth to those cancer cells and normal cell death, you know, apoptosis cells are supposed to die in a natural timing and not live forever and keep replicating or duplicating. And so it helps with all of those type of things. And it's one that we don't have, it's still not greatly absorbed. Or very well absorbed, I guess, a little bit better way to say that. But it is one that we can, you know, we don't have to take as high of a dose. And matter of fact, it's even one that, you know, a little bit doesn't help. A moderate amount definitely is great. And a large amount might not be good. It actually may become a little bit more damaging. So it is one that we want to have kind of we call it a bell curve. And so, you know, there's this optimal level that we want to be at, so we don't create any damage on it.
You know, explain damage in ourselves. How would that occur?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a pro-oxidant. So people will do, IV vitamin C.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go with 50,000 milligrams. 75,000 milligrams or 75 grams of vitamin C. At that stage, it becomes a pro-oxidant. That means it starts damaging cells. And so, oxidation is, browning of a fruit, of an apple.
Yes.
It's going to turn brown. To keep it from turning brown, we sprinkle lemon juice on it. The lemon juice puts vitamin acids, C on it, you know, and that vitamin C donates electrons. You know, and repairs those cells and keeps them from turning brown. Well, if we add too much vitamin C to that apple, I don't know what would happen, but maybe it dehydrated, damage it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the same thing with IV vitamin C, that treatment is a, you know, to become a pro-oxidant to damage fast growing cells. Well, same thing with actually quercetin can become a pro-oxidant. And so it can actually start forcing things onto cells and start damaging the cells, or actually like the DNA. That's where we're really kind of concerned about, is that it get into the cell. That's going to start damaging the DNA. The DNA now is a little misshaped or starts replicating itself incorrectly. That is a potential concern.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Okay. So recommendations. You had me, when we did talk about this, I was taking, I just take one of these a day. So let me look at what Ashley says absorption wise. What is your recommendation for these?
Now, typically I'll go with like two a day, one twice a day.
So I'm doing 500 milligrams a day of this, just one, yeah, once a day.
Yeah. And now for, you know, for like a prevention. Yeah, that's great. Okay. So one a day, especially at 500 milligrams, that's a little bit on the higher end of the dose, because most capsules are going to be 250 to 500.
Yeah.
So 500 a day for a more of a prevention type of a dose, I think is great. The, you know, maybe even 250 twice a day. For those that are challenged with cancer, there's a new thing that I've started doing, is taking it, you know, before I eat. And because it helps decrease the body's ability to use glutamine temporarily.
Yeah.
So that's a newer little concept that's coming out.
When you say that, and I don't want to dive into it because we could talk about that. That'll be another topic altogether. Yes. But do you give, so when I break my fast, we talked about this, because a lot of them are fat soluble supplements. Mm-hmm. I take it with, I break my fast with 4 or 5 Brazilian nuts. Mm-hmm. And then I take my supplements right away. And then I usually give myself about a half an hour break before I actually eat my first meal. So mm-hmm. just to let everything absorb. Is that enough time to let it absorb into your body?
Oh, yes, I think so. And so, you know, it takes about, well, to think about digestion, 30 minutes.
Yeah,
you
know, that's my mindset with it, right?
So maybe blood levels are, you know, starting to peak at about an hour.
Yeah.
So the goal would be to take that, like, you know, 30 minutes before meal. Matter of fact, fat soluble with nuts is perfect. And take, you know, the quercetin, you know, with that, breaking your fast, I think perfect time with that. So that is kind of a newer type thing. So, but I've started implementing that with my clients, you know, and myself, taking that more like, instead of taking it early in the morning. For me, I leave the house early in the morning, I'm gone. And, you know, it's kind of weird. I work in a pharmacy. I've got all the supplements there. I don't take them there. You know, I take them at home. I'm just so busy usually, and just go until I basically have lunch at 2 o'clock. And I just don't take the time. It's wrong, but I should do better. But anyway, so I do take some things early in the morning. And then now there's a group of things I'm taking like before lunch to help decrease glutamine type thing and glucose type thing.
Perfect. The next supplement, I mean, I'm going to put pictures of all these up, but it's green tea extract. It's a supplement. I never took it in a supplement. Green tea is something, as a tea, I consumed on a regular basis for years and years. Never on a consistent basis. But I mean, if I'm going to have a tea during a day or an evening, usually it would be green tea, an organic green tea. I usually would just have a bag and slap it. You, again, these are this supplement and the last one were the ones that you kind of said, let's introduce this into your system. And I started taking it as a supplement. I take it same thing once a day.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much benefits to it. So much benefits to it. And it's something, I mean, if you think of green tea, I mean, when you're getting to the Asian culture, it's a staple in their diet.
Right.
So let's talk about the benefits of it. And when you're talking about it, there's so much research on how it slows tumor growth and the spread of the cells and all that stuff. So let's dive into green tea extract. And extract is a very important aspect of it as well.
Definitely. Extract is very important. So yeah, definitely the cup of tea is great. You know, I have a tendency to do that. I will do a matcha green tea, which is just worst tasting. You know, it's not very good, but it's green tea leaves. And so, and it could be maybe 4 to 10 times stronger than a tea bag of green tea.
Yeah.
And so, and most people have to make more like a latte out of it.
That's what my wife does with it.
Yeah, don't add the sugar. You know, go with a natural monk fruit, stevia type things. You know, to sweeten it instead of sugars. And so, you know, so kind of like in the order of strength is going to be the green tea, matcha. Matter of fact, if those are decaffeinated, you know, you probably are going to lose a little bit of the EGCG.
That's
one of the ingredients in that. And so an extract of a capsule, though, is probably going to be equal to maybe 10 cups of green tea.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's powerful. And there are versions that are typically kind of like low amount of caffeine. So some of them may have about 30 milligrams of caffeine in a capsule. And because they kind of purify those, they can actually kind of wash those out naturally.
Yeah.
And concentrate it for the EGCG. That's the main ingredient we're trying to get at. And then there's some versions also that are caffeine free, because there's definitely some people that have an issue with caffeine metabolism. You know, I can have my cup of coffee at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. And my friend, you got your ceramic. Yeah, there you go. Okay. And so I can have a cup of coffee at, I could drink a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock and I can go to sleep at 10. And so genetically, I metabolize that caffeine, and I have, you know, some clients that they have a cup of coffee or even a cup of tea at noon and they can't go to sleep at midnight.
Yeah.
And so because genetically their liver has a hard time metabolizing that drug, the caffeine. So, but it also has the same type of properties, but it is definitely different than quercetin and curcumin in anti-cancer benefits and inhibiting the, you know, growth of cancer cells and the new blood vessels, but similar type effects, but works in a different way. That's also part of our goal, is we want to, you know, if we just kind of
diversify.
Exactly. If we just hit the cancer cells with one thing, some of those cells are going to adapt.
Yeah, 100%.
Same thing with chemotherapy. Remember, that brings up another topic along this line, all of these items. So chemotherapy, you know, they don't use one drug anymore. When I first started this back in the 70s in pharmacy school, I had oncology rounds and so they were doing one chemotherapy drug. Well, they found out that the cancer cells become resistant to that drug. So then they put them on a second drug. I mean, a separate one single drug. They became resistant to that. So then we get a little bit better outcomes if we do two drugs together. But even with that, you know, resistance still can, it's called MDR, multi-drug resistant. Once that cancer cell becomes resistant to one or two drugs, it's resistant to everything. They take on a whole different, type of thing.
That's when you're hitting a scary stage at that point.
Exactly.
Go.
Yeah. So that's why we want to do several things at once. You know, whether, sauna, and exercise and sleeping right, you know, and eating right and being careful about sugar and being careful about excess glutamine and taking these supplements. And so the more things that we can kind of do, the better the results are.
And it's like a holistic aspect of it. You're trying to hit it from every angle possible.
The whole body, you know, the more things that we can do, the better the results are going to be. And so, I've seen people, kind of piddle on things. You all use that word much, piddle. Anyway, just kind of piddle on things and just kind of halfway do things, halfway get the results.
Yeah, of course.
And so I tell people, with cancer that, okay, this is your Olympics. You know, this is it. You know, this is the time. You got to buckle up. You got to do this. And we got to eat right. We got to exercise. We got to do all these things. And we got to take several different supplements. If we just do one supplement, rely on one thing, I just don't feel comfortable with that.
No, so your body will get immune to it very quickly, right? And especially the cancer cells that are, they are going to spread and get immune to it very, very quickly. So you want to try to hit it from every angle possible. You want to give yourself every opportunity. Opportunity to defeat, prevail, and prevent, right? And I love that aspect because it's so sad to actually hear everything you're saying, and it's something I preach is the preventative aspect of it. Because if people were to do these things on a regular basis, whether it's the sauna, the exercise, the diet, eliminating sugar, trying to focus on controlling your glucose levels, all this stuff, cancer levels would be so low in our society.
It would be amazing. It could easily be, and I'm not sure. I would say half as much cancer.
I would even say less. And the scary part is because, people still disregard cancer as a metabolic disease and don't understand that environmental consumption of food, how you treat your body. There's so many other aspects of how this happens. And this is another topic we're going to talk about one day that I've been researching a lot. And the whole idea of it being hereditary. And I do understand there is some hereditary situations when it comes to cancer, but you have to also look at, when I look at hereditary, if my dad had cancer, it doesn't mean I'm going to have cancer if I change my lifestyle from day one. And when you look at that, because a lot of people will be like, oh, my mom had cancer, I had cancer. It's because you guys follow the same path, whether it's your diet, whether it's your environment, your lifestyle. So if you're following the path of somebody that has it, it's going to obviously increase your opportunity to get it.
Right.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things we could talk about that, because that is one thing that bothers me when I hear people like, oh, it's hereditary, I'm going to get it no matter what. No, you're not going to get it. There's ways of preventing it. So yeah. So green tea extract is a definite staple and I would say prevention just in people's lifestyle. It's something that people should be taking on a regular basis. I agree.
Yes, exactly. I agree with that. And the matcha tea is actually getting more difficult to find because it's becoming more popular.
Yeah.
Primarily Japan, China, and maybe another country starting to kind of make some. Japan is a country that has probably the best organic type accepted methods on that. And so, the capsules I think are great if you have a family history or you have a personal history of cancer. The other thing about that is going to be the timing of the green tea, caffeine-free capsules. And so because of the glutamine thing, kind of like quercetin, I think the perfect time for that is actually before you eat a protein serving. So matter of fact, glutamine, is one of the fuels for cancers as glucose is, but we also have to have proteins. And so our body can actually even take other proteins and make glutamine. Well, quercetin green tea helped decrease some of that.
Yeah.
And it's perfect time to decrease that glutamine for a while is to take the green tea before a meal, 30 minutes, maybe an hour before a meal. Worst case scenario is actually with the meal, the beginning of the meal. Because it's going to take time for those nutrients to be absorbed also anyway. So anyway, I love green tea. Drinking it is fine.
You're getting a lot more benefits out of it with the supplement.
A lot more benefits out of a capsule, right.
Yeah, okay. The next supplement is our K2.
Oh, yeah.
K2 and vitamin D3. And for years, I just took vitamin D3. And that was just something I took on a regular basis. When I did my... when I did all my blood work after I found out I had cancer, my vitamin D levels were extremely in a perfect spot. So it wasn't a lack of vitamin D, but it's a supplement that you heard a lot of controversy during our whole pandemic where vitamin D levels were low on most people that are getting sick and being hospitalized with COVID. So it's such an important supplement, but it's also one that naturally we could get on a regular basis, just getting outside and getting some sunlight, some daylight. It's a little harder in places like Canada. So we get the snow, we get the winters, we get it darker with our time change. By 5 o'clock, it's already pitch dark outside, so we don't get as much daylight. So vitamin D and And when you combine it with K2, and there are so much benefits to combining with K2 right. because of the obviously the calcium bonding and all that stuff like that. Let's talk about the benefits of D3, K2 combined towards cancer, because there is so much research on this. This is another one that there's a lot of research on your immune system, stuff like that. So let's talk about that.
Right. And so the matter of fact, we have what are called vitamin D receptors on our cells. And so this immune cell has a receptor on it, and vitamin D attaches to that, to the VDR, vitamin D receptor. And now this immune cell is going to work better.
Yeah.
And so, but now, and this is also part of the, even the COVID type thing. So some of us, as a matter of fact, myself, I've done genetic testing myself. My vitamin D receptor doesn't even work. From both parents.
Interesting.
Okay. I still take the vitamin D, but I was one of the first ones to get COVID. Even though I was taking vitamin D, my vitamin D level was great. And so, but my immune system is not going to be optimal.
Interesting. Interesting. I never heard that before.
Yes. And so, but the same thing. So this lack of a vitamin D receptor is going to be part of that genetic issue for cancer.
Yes.
And so I still take the vitamin D because there's going to be other benefits. And so there's even vitamin D has an impact on muscle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So the actually odds are that these guys that are kind of like naturally big muscle and big boned and the sports athlete type person, their vitamin D receptors probably work.
Interesting.
And odds are, some of us, like me, that are not very big, and I had become a musician. I couldn't play football, so I became a musician, and because my vitamin D receptor doesn't work, and I can't develop those muscles and the bones. My bones are smaller, you know, than other people. So, but vitamin D has many different actions. So, and actually, immune is just one of them. It's hundreds of actions, maybe 1,000, interactions in the body. And it is a risk factor. Being low in it is a risk factor for almost every single health issue I can find, but it's not a magic bullet, And so, like you mentioned, your vitamin D level was okay.
Yeah.
And still you had cancer. So it's not like going to be the answer.
But as we talked, it's a combination.
Yes, exactly.
You want to hit every kind of angle as possible. And something like vitamin D is such a easily found supplement you could find in any health food store, any pharmacy. And it's something that our body does need. It does naturally produce it. So if you are in a sun state and you're already in the sun all day, you probably could naturally get it. But as like I was saying, when you are in areas of North America, when daylight changes, you do want to increase your vitamin D as much as you can, especially in the wintertime. And I do that. I bring my vitamin through the summer, I keep it around 1,000, usually 1,000 ICUs. And then in the winter, or even sometimes up to 2,000 ICUs, it depends on the time of year. But in the winter time, I usually bring that up to 3,000 to 4,000 ICUs. And I've been doing that steadily.
Yeah, I have to take like 5,000 units 5 days a week at least.
Yeah. I do it every day steadily, 7 days a week. So there's so much benefit to it. I mean, it's such a supplement that it's a staple in my supplements, and it has been for years, even prior to being diagnosed with cancer. So what are your recommendations? Like you said, let's talk about that quickly. Okay. Blood work. How would somebody find out genetically if they are able to absorb it or not? Because I've never even heard of that before. So it's not
absorption. First of all, it's not really a vitamin. It's a hormone. Our body makes exposure and our skin makes it. So it's actually a hormone. It's more closely related to estrogen and testosterone than anything else, but they mislabeled it when they discovered this and back in the 1930s, probably.
Yeah.
And so, the only way we know for sure how much we need is by doing a blood test for it. We have no idea how much a person needs. And I've seen people that actually do not need to take any. And then I have some people that have more health challenges like autoimmune issues. And typically some of those people actually need 10,000 units a day.
Yeah.
So it depends on the person. We have no idea. Once you start taking it, it actually can take anywhere from 3 and up to 6 months for a new level to occur. So if you make a change on a dose today, it might be 6 months before you actually get a good idea about your vitamin D3 blood level. So all doctors can test it in some of in most of the states in the United States down here. You can actually get a blood test without a doctor's order, and not all states. There's a few states that that's not allowed, but blood tests are easy to get for it.
Yeah,
and typically covered by insurance. If not, it can be if it's paid cash only. So long as you don't go through the traditional insurance type thing, it's usually not a terribly expensive test.
No, we had to pay for it here, and I think it was like $40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not expensive.
Yeah.
And so I recommend people test it all the time, but it does take a little bit of time, you know, for that level, that new level after a dosage change to occur. And we do need more in the wintertime. Sunshine exposure in summer can limit that. And there are, once again, thousands of benefits for it. And it does help with the immune system. That's part of the immune system is part of the anti-cancer effect.
100%. 100%.
We have those cancer cells. We want to damage them, you know, and then it's the immune system's responsibility to grab hold of that and chew it up, get rid of it. And so we want those immune cells to work right.
And there's another aspect of that as well. And I always talk about that is, you want to keep your immune system as strong as possible. You want to keep your body. And the reason for that is if your body is constantly fighting colds, constantly fighting injuries, constantly fighting inflammation, it's that those are the moments those cancer cells thrive, because your body is, you need to keep your body as healthy as you possibly can. So your body naturally could be defending and fighting those cancer cells on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one thing that, supplement wise and kind of I started really diving into is the benefits of mushrooms, and there's so many of them. We're going to dive onto two today. One of them, my friend Nelson actually, he actually extracts it and takes it up from an actual tree and naturally makes his own tea, and a very, very health conscious guy, and he's the one who introduced me to it. And then I think I asked you about it, and I actually started taking it as a supplement.
Mm-hmm.
Is chaga? Am I pronouncing that right?
I don't know. That's a Canadian thing, so you know we don't have birch. Isn't it birch tree?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's primarily birch trees. Matter of fact, I go up mountains in New Mexico and Colorado, and I might maybe see some very rarely up there.
They're very
As a matter of fact, it's not like I'm going to trust that, because it's not a birch tree. So, you know, I don't want to eat a mushroom. I don't know what it is. And so, chaga you know, is a fungus, a fungi that's growing on the tree. And, and so it's going to take nutrients from the tree and that's coming up from the soil and even from the air. And that's a very interesting one, is that it does have some of these, we call it beta glucan type things, you know, in them. And so that's one particular chemical structure. Actually, beta glucan is a chemical structure, but it has those ingredients, but also that color is important. So it's like foods, the darker the foods, they have a tendency to have more antioxidants and polyphenols and tannins and other things like that. And so this chaga is, you know, actually kind of black on the outside, and there's certain nutrients in that outside part and then more orangey on the inside.
Yeah.
And different types of nutrients in that. So, and actually, so they've actually studied the outside and the inside and those different nutrients. And there are some anti-cancer type benefits, immune system, polyphenols. It's a great thing, you know, making the tea, especially, you know, traditionally it's kind of like a wintertime type thing. I think, you know, in the northern climates is, you know, making that tea and brewing that tea, because you can't get as much fruits and vegetables. So because that chaga will keep for a while, and it's fairly stable once it's picked, I believe. I don't have that access to that. So
I do it as a supplement. I mean, I do the same thing once a day. And when I originally dove into it and my friend Nelson introduced it to me, I really started looking into it. And what really clicked on me is the direct link with colorectal cancer. Mm-hmm. And this one, for some reason, had more studies of all the mushrooms when it's directly linking to colon rectal cancer, which is something, obviously, that I had to deal with. So when you're looking at it, there's a lot of studies that show the direct correlation with slowing down or stopping tumor growth.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your knowledge about that?
And there are actually, a few human studies, not many, but there are some definitely that can show that. Matter of fact, I think there's kind of like 14 studies thus far, but they're more like population studies, and it's more like the people that take chaga that have cancer have a tendency to live longer.
Interesting.
Okay, it's kind of a summary type thing.
Yeah.
We can find similar type effects with some other mushroom type things. And so, matter of fact, in the Orient, China and Japan, they have a different type of a mushroom that they use, and they extract it and even have a prescription mushroom product. And there's thousands of research articles on that.
Yeah.
And that is part of, because it actually ramps up the immune system to fight, infections and help even kind of like to a certain extent fight. Well, so one of the big problems is immune system becomes compromised. Chemotherapy kills fast growing cells.
Yes.
Immune cells and white blood cells and red blood cells are some of those faster growing cells. They only live for a few, maybe 30, 60 days.
Yeah.
And so they have a tendency to be damaged pretty quick with chemotherapy, radiation. And so beta glucan seem to kind of help some of that out and help to fight infections. And therefore, people live longer.
Yeah.
So often people are going to die of not necessarily the cancer, but maybe pneumonia and other things that can happen too.
Or or a lot of times the treatment itself is what it gets you before anything else.
They can't eat. Yeah. They're starving and they can't absorb or whatever. Yeah. So often they'll die of side effects or complications, of that. So, so it's, I love the mushroom idea. And matter of fact, I wish that, here, we had more options, and they're kind of limited. It depends on region. So that's where supplement capsules, are a definite way, to do that. And so, most of us can't go up to Canada, go to the birch trees and climb up that tree and cut that off. Your friend maybe has access to that.
He's actually an arbiter. So he's up on trees on a regular, he's a firefighter, but he's as a side gig business, cuts down trees. So he's always around. So that's how he actually collects his own when he's doing that, doing a lot of his work up in up north areas of Canada. So, so there is a lot of benefit to that.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
The next one, which is our last one we're going to talk about today, is something that I actually read about in the Metabolic Effects of Cancer book. Probably the first book I read when I was diagnosed with cancer, and it's Turkey Tail.
Mm-hmm.
And Turkey Tail, there is so much research. Even when you're dealing with a country even like Japan, where they actually use it as one of their therapeutical treatments for cancer.
Right.
So let's talk about Turkey Tail and your knowledge of it and as a mushroom, another benefit of it. When somebody first told me, when I was reading about a Turkey Tail, I'm like, Turkey Tail? I'm like, what do you mean a turkey's tail? And then when I actually researched and I found it was just another mushroom. So let's talk about the benefits of Turkey Tail and how and where we could get it. Like I said, I take it in the supplement form because it's just accessible. It's easy. There's only a certain amount of mushrooms you could eat in a day. So having these supplements, it just speeds up the process. And like I said, we're trying to attack everything from every angle. So any little inch, even I say, if it's going to give you a 0.000% to fight that cancer, then take that opportunity. So that's that was my mindset, and it's something I've really, really honed and studied and learned about and really took into effect. So let's talk about Turkey Tail.
Sure. Turkey Tail. And so, yes, that kind of the fan of the turkey tail. But because it's actually got those colors.
Yes.
Like a turkey tail would have. And, And so, matter of fact, you know, that one is actually a little bit more common down here. So when I go to New Mexico, ride horses in the mountains and camp and fish, and I've actually yet to pick any because usually when I go, it's off season for the growth there. And so there is a temperature issue with that. And when I find them, usually they're more petrified. They're probably not any good anymore. I can see them on the logs and things like that, but they're hard as a rock almost.
Yeah.
And so, but it's the same kind of thing, a little different, combination of nutrients, but it is, once again, that kind of beta glucan type and polyphenols and those colors, in that. And so that called versicolor. Is another term for that, versa or several colors. So there's colors in that. So once again, the darker color of type foods have many benefits, including the mushrooms. And so turkey tail too has similar type things, a lot of studies showing benefits to it. It's a pretty easily grown one. And so I'm sure there's a lot of people and companies even that are growing the mushrooms, turkey tail mushrooms, so that they can be used, in supplements even. So because it's hard to go out and go find enough turkey tail mushrooms. So if you're trying to do that, you're going to hike a lot of miles, to find that, because a lot of people are, picking, they're so recognizable, people are going to pick them up and you're not going to find them.
One thing I as we're talking about this, because now we're dealing with farm grown, you do want to make sure, and that's one thing I do is all my supplements, I try to buy them always organic. So look for organic options, especially when you're dealing with the mushrooms and stuff like that. Try to look for organic options as well. So these are six supplements that should be a staple for anybody if you're trying to prevent, trying to fight, or trying to strive can be a cancer-free life after you've beat cancer. Mm-hmm. So you're prevailing over cancer. There is a ton of other supplements, and we're going to dive into other ones throughout the other podcasts. Of these six, if I were to say, you only got to take one or two, which of these six would you say are the most important? And I think I know what you're going to say, but let's
probably. Yes, because when I send you the list, I have it almost in my mind. That's what pops into my mind. So you know where I'm going with this. But so actually, I lean toward curcumin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has the most research.
Yeah.
And quercetin.
Yeah.
And green tea extracts, e.g. CG.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite three that I, and definitely there's some people that can't afford to take, more than one or two, and so... and so we need to concentrate on those, those are my favorites. Yes.
Yeah.
And so if a person had a financial issue and they wanted to do that, I would it'd be curcumin, quercetin, and EGCG.
Yeah. Now, one last thing with turmeric, if you do find, if you do have a juicer or a cold press, do you find the same benefits? Because I do still make my juice shots. I don't take them on a regular basis. I would say maybe 2-3 times a week. If I feel like I'm coming out with a cold, because I feel like it just destroys everything inside me, I do I make it with ginger.
Oh, ginger. Yeah.
Ginger, turmeric, and I add black pepper and lemon. Mm-hmm. Organic. It's a cold press juicer we have at home. And once I make them, we refrigerate it. And for example, my son's home sick for a couple of days. He's having a couple shots of these a day. Every time he takes a little shot down, he runs around the house screaming because it's burning his whole insides out. But
why he's getting well, because he says he's well because he didn't want to get the treatment anymore.
But it works. It works. It feels like it boosts your immune system. It gives you a shot of vitamins, but it also helps, like you said, so many other benefits to it. If somebody doesn't take a supplement form, are they getting the same amount of benefit through an actual ginger shot or turmeric? Sorry, we'll just skip back to turmeric shot. If they add the black pepper and make it at home, or do you recommend it better through a supplement? Would you recommend it natural or a supplement?
You would absorb it. And, and the black pepper definitely brings that up a notch.
Yeah.
So actually the black peppers too, I mentioned liver function, but the other thing is it actually increases the absorption of the curcumin from the intestinal tract.
Yeah, I read that too.
So there's two different ways that it's going to work. So the black pepper definitely make a difference. If you don't add the black pepper to it, it definitely will not be nearly as well absorbed. And the only other thing is that if you could figure out a way to add a little bit of an oil to it, you know, that might also increase absorption.
What oil would you add to it? Like an avocado oil, olive oil? What type of? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah. One of those oils, exactly. But a little bit of an oil, you know, and so that's what some supplement companies do is they
will it mix well if you do it at home with the juice? It won't mix well because you'll sit on top, right?
Oil, exactly. It will sit on top. So that I'm not
going to give it a shake or something before you take it, or add a couple of drops. If you're doing a little shot of it, add a couple of drops and then take it all down.
We'll add a little bit of oil to it and take a shot with that. And so, matter of fact, maybe some of our viewers can share, you know, their ideas on that oil type thing. And so
interesting.
I don't, cause that's not going to mix well either, but the oil in the intestines. So turmeric and curcumin are more oil soluble than water soluble.
Yes.
And so if you mix those in a bowl or mortar and pestle, you know, the oil will definitely hold that together better than the water version.
Interesting. Because I was actually going to make a video, and I'll be doing it soon, of my ginger, turmeric, black pepper, lemon shots, making them. Mm-hmm. So I was going to just do a video soon on that. So that might be something we'll do, is add a couple drops of either, which I have at home. That's the only thing we use, is either avocado or olive on salads. We keep olive oil cold. We don't try to heat it up. But the only one we actually heat up is either grass-fed butter or avocado oil. That's the mainstream in our house now. That's all we use. So yeah, this has been awesome. I mean, every time I sit down with you, it's almost information overload, but anybody that sits down and spends the time to listen to our episodes are getting something out of every episode, which was my goal when we started these podcasts. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your knowledge. I mean, you are a bundle of knowledge. You're like an encyclopedia. So this is awesome. I appreciate you. And like I said, we are going to, for our audience, try to come up. I've been getting so many emails and messages, like we put out a couple more episodes on a regular basis. So we're going to try to bring them out every 2 weeks now instead of once a month.
Yep.
And we're going to hit different topics. We're going to talk about topics that myself and Keith have been talking about quite a bit. Something that I've been doing steadily, and Keith is also, we're going to talk about saunas. We're going to talk about fasting. There's a lot of things we're going to be diving into and adding benefits to anybody that's fighting cancer, got diagnosed with cancer, prevailing over cancer, living a cancer-free life, or like I said, just preventing and living a life that you're hoping you will never have to deal with cancer. And that's obviously should be your main goal from the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. So right. I feel better doing it. Matter of fact, one of my 100%. Clients the other day, you know, it's been literally just like a week and a half. And she said, Keith, I feel so much better. And she just started making just a few changes. It's really neat.
Yeah. It's awesome. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you.